Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible this morning, if you will, to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 1, if you would. While you're turning there, let me also ask you to pray for Brother Pike's uncle, Mr. Moxon. He has been placed on hospice care, and they have told the family to come in. There's nothing left that they can do for him. So we'll put him in the hands of God, and you pray for the family during this time, if you would. I'm glad Brother Pike could be here this morning. I think they're all going this afternoon to the hospital. So you pray for the family during this time, if you would. I know they would appreciate that very much. If you're in Mark chapter 1, that'll be good. We're just going to read two verses, but I've got to say, for the songs this morning, Saved by the Blood of the Crucified One. I don't know what you do when you sing, all right? I hope you don't just hear the tune and, you know, the rhyming, but I hope you listen to the words. Well, we were singing that first song and get there in the chorus, Glory, I'm saved. Saved by the blood. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. And you can't beat that with a stick, all right? What a good thing. And then blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste. Glory divine. That glory's coming, all right? That glory's coming. And I hope you don't lose track of that. We get in the old world and everything going on, you know. But we've got that blessed assurance if you've been born again. Don't ever overlook it, all right? All right, Mark 1, verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The book of Mark is different in some ways than the other gospels. It jumps immediately into, very quickly into the beginning of the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that ministry began in earnest, as the Bible says here, after John was put in prison. Herod threw John the Baptist in prison, and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, public ministry, immediately stepped up. He had been tempted of the devil in the wilderness. He came out of that wilderness, and he began his public ministry when he did that. And I want to draw your attention this morning to the words in verse 15 where the Bible says the time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. Folks, God's always worked down through the centuries of time, and he's always done it on his schedule. His schedule. When the time was right, the Bible tells us he sent Jesus, born of a virgin, to come to this world, and to be the sacrifice for our sin, to pay the sin debt of the world. And I'm going to tell you, when the fullness of the Gentiles has come, the trump's going to sound, and we believers are going to be raptured out of here. But it's all in God's timing. It's all in his timing, because God works on his schedule. You've noticed that, I hope. He does not work on your schedule. He does not work on my schedule. If he worked on my schedule, I would be feeling tip-top today. I've prayed and asked him to help me. And I've said, Lord, whatever it is you want me to learn, I'm available. My eyes and ears are open. Whatever you're trying to teach me now, I'm ready. Just give it to me. But he doesn't work on my schedule, all right? He doesn't work on us, you know, in ours at all. So what we need to do is get tuned into his schedule. We need to just be ready and attentive. So when it's time, we'll recognize that fact and we'll act upon it. We need to just be aware of that. And so I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of its time. It's time. You say, well, time for what? Well, we're going to use the scripture here. It's time for preaching. It's time for preaching. Notice what the Bible says. Jesus came unto Galilee preaching. He came preaching. Our text says that. I believe oftentimes we forget the fact that Jesus Christ was a preacher. We get tied up in all the other parts and all the other things about the Lord. John said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And he was that, and glory to God, I'm glad he was. But he was more than that, all right? He was the Lamb of God. He was and is the sacrifice for our sins. He was and is the Savior of mankind. He was the teacher. He was a tremendous teacher. He taught people. He taught the multitudes. But beyond that, he was a prophet. But not only that, he was a priest. Bible tells us he's the prince, all right? But he's the King of Kings. He's all of that, but I want you to not lose track of the fact he was a preacher. He was a preacher, and sometimes people get after preachers. Preacher, what are you doing there? Well, I want to talk to you just a little bit about the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time for preaching. His preaching, I want you to see, was personal. Personal. You said, what do you mean by that? Well, let me ask you to consider the woman at the well. That woman that came to Jacob's well that day, and the Lord was drawing water, and she wanted to give him the drink, and he asked of her a drink, and she said, man, why in the world would you ask me, you a Jew, ask me a Samaritan to give you water? And the Lord said, man, if you knew who you're talking to, you'd be asking me. And she looked at him and said, how in the world are you going to give me a thing? You don't even have a bucket. And he went on to begin to preach to her. But it was personal preaching. You say, how you figure? Remember where he got down to that point in the message when he said, go get your husband? I want to tell you, it got personal. It got personal. The Lord didn't mind being personal with his preaching. Sometime in our day, the preacher gets personal and we kind of get upset. Preacher, you preaching to me? I guarantee you, if you're in here, I'm preaching to you, okay? I can't preach to the folks that aren't here, so yeah, I'm preaching to you. So don't like that personal preaching. You wouldn't have liked the preaching of Jesus Christ then. Hey, it was not only personal, it was precise. It was precise. Draw you another example from Scripture. The Bible tells us there came a day when they brought a woman to him, taken in adultery. Taken in adultery. And if you're familiar with what happened, you know, they wanted him to, accuse her and stone her. And so that's what they were wanting him to do. And instead, the Bible says he just wrote on the ground. Well, he told them, well, let him that's without sin among you cast the first stone. He knelt and wrote on the ground. The Bible said one by one, they all left. And he looked up, stood up and looked at that woman and said, where's your accusers? He said, no man accuses me. Then he got very precise when he told her, you go and sin no more. You go and sin no more. Man, the preaching was precise. This is exactly, the preaching was, there's some things you've done. You quit. You quit. It was precise. Not only that, his preaching was practical. It was practical. It was not an expedition and exegesis to impress the intellectual. There's a lot of that done. It wasn't. You say, well, how do you figure it wasn't? Go to Luke chapter 10, would you? Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 is maybe one of the most famous passages where the Lord was speaking. And people love to get in this, but there's only one aspect of his preaching. And if you turn there to Luke chapter 10, if you like my Bible, above verse 30, there's a little subheading that talks about, it says it's the parable of the Good Samaritan. His preaching was very practical. In that parable, he told about two religious fellows. He told about a man that has taken, and he was coming down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Thieves got on him, and they beat him up. They stole him. stole from him, left him on the side of the road, leaving him half dead. And then two religious guys came on one by one. One was a priest. You would have thought a priest would have had compassion and said, we need to help this fellow. But he just passed on by. Then he said another religious guy came up. He was a Levite. That's a man who was an expert in the law. And that expert in the law just passed on by too. And then the Bible said a Samaritan came. And you have to understand, in the day the Lord was preaching and teaching here, the Samaritan was kind of the scum of the earth. The scum of the earth. But it was that Samaritan that took the time to reach down to that man who was wounded, carry him to an inn, get him taken care of, and said, I'll come back, I'll pay for everything, you take care of him. And then we find the words in verse 36, Jesus speaking, said, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Hey, his preaching was practical. It was practical. Now, there's nothing in the world wrong with doctrinal preaching. It's good. We need doctrine. But boy, it's good when we draw that practical application where we see that our faith ought to affect us out in that world. It ought to affect the way we treat people and what we do. The Lord Jesus Christ, his preaching, hey, it was personal. It was precise, pointed, if you will. It was very practical. But his preaching was also prophetic. And prophetic preaching. In Matthew 24, beginning in verse 27, we find these words, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The Lord Jesus Christ preached the second coming. He was a prophetical preacher. He told his followers, one of these days, there's not going to be two stones left on top of another. He was preaching a prophetic message. All of preaching today is under those, I believe, four categories at least. Hey, it's to be precise. It's to be personal. It's to be practical. It's to be prophetic. Hey, that's what it was. Can I say this? Nothing's changed. Our Lord still favors preaching. He's still in favor of preaching. It's time for preaching, okay? It's time for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Would you turn there, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Tremendous verse where the Bible says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Hey, our Lord still believes in preaching. Paul said to Timothy, he said, you preach the word. You preach the word. We need it. Hey, we don't need less of it. We need more of it. We need more of the preaching of the word of God in this day. We do not need less. You need it. I need it. We need to hear the preaching of the Word of God. And hey, we preachers are to follow the example of the Lord. It ought to be personal. It ought to be precise. It ought to be practical. It ought to be prophetic. It's just time for preaching. And can I say this? When you come to church, you have a right to expect somebody to get up and preach the Word of God. You have a right to expect that. You ought to expect that, all right? When you come to church, you ought to expect to hear preaching. Now, not a monologue, not a rap session around a religious subject, not a discussion group. No, you ought to expect somebody to get up, open the Word of God, and preach it. We need that. We need to hear from heaven in a day of wickedness, in a day of straying from God. We need to hear from heaven. Hey, we need to be encouraged by this book. We need the preaching, all right? Hey, it's time for preaching. But that's not all. Notice what the Bible said there again, if you will, in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. He said to them, the time's fulfilled, the kingdom of God's at hand, repent ye. Now, here's where it gets personal. It's time to repent. It's time to repent. Listen closely. Here's what Acts chapter 17, verse 30 says. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Hey, you know, there was a time where there was ignorance. Now, you and I have no excuse to be ignorant of the Word of God and of what God wants. We have no excuse. We have the Word of God. We have the Word of God. You can open it up. You can read it. You can study it. You have the opportunity 3 times a week show up here and get preaching from the Word of God. You have that opportunity. We don't have an excuse for ignorance. And as God said it that day, the time of this ignorance God winked at. But now the commandment is for all men everywhere to repent. Repent. I just want to tell you, repentance is a Bible doctrine. It is a Bible doctrine. In Luke chapter 13, well, just turn there. Well, maybe we don't need to be in a hurry, okay? I said this morning, some folks, I said one thing about it. While I'm going through this trouble with my health issue, y'all don't have to worry about me preaching too long. And I want you to know I heard some amens right there. So we'll see what the Lord will do, all right? But look, if you will, Luke chapter 13, look, if you will, in verse 3. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, if you miss that, go to verse 5. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Hey, I want you to know, repentance is a Bible doctrine. These were the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no doubt that repentance is an extremely important Bible doctrine. It is for us today. It is not just for somebody else, somewhere else, in a different dispensation. It is for you and me now. God commands all men everywhere to repent. To repent. Why? Because we've heard the preaching. We've heard the preaching. We've heard the truth, all right? The preaching has been done. We need to repent. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10 says this, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. You ask, what is repentance? What does it mean, preacher, to repent? I believe it is, as that verse said, it is godly sorrow for sin that has been committed. We've brought to the realization of sin. And there ought to be a godly sorrow for that sin. It is not sorrow because you got caught. It is sorrow for the deed itself. I've seen a multitude of people were sorry they got caught. There may be some of you sitting here, you've been there. You know, when you were driving down the highway and you looked in your rearview mirror and you thought, where'd those lights come from? And you slow down and pull over in the right-hand lane and pray he'll go around and keep going. But he doesn't do that. He pulls in behind you. And you pull over. And you think, man, most of us do not sit and say, I shouldn't have been speeding. We say, doggone it, I wish I hadn't got caught. Just wish I hadn't got caught. Hey, here's a big difference between sorrow for being caught and sorrow for being guilty. Sorrow for being guilty. A lot of people are sorry they get caught. But I believe real repentance is a godly sorrow that says, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. And notice, it is repentance to salvation. It is repentance that leads you to do something. Repentance that leads you to do something. I believe repentance leads to confession. I believe if you're real repentant, you'll confess it. You'll confess it and you'll forsake it. That's real repentance. And the Bible comes and says to us, we're to repent. We're to repent. Why? Hey, I've heard the preaching of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit of God has got a hold of me in my heart and put His finger right there in my life and said, boy, you're guilty right there. You're guilty. Sometimes it's, hey, you listening to what that preacher said? He's talking to you. You know you're guilty. You ought to get right. But sometimes you sit in the house of God and the preacher's preaching on something else. But God puts His finger in your life on that spot and He says to you, He's not talking about it, but you know you're guilty. There's time for repentance. Hey, it's time to repent. It's time to repent. Why? Because I've heard the truth. I know the truth. I need to do something about it. I need to make it right. It's time to repent. But the third thing I want you to see in this passage of Scripture, the Bible said, repent ye and believe. Believe. Hey, it's time to believe. It's time to believe. I'll be honest with you, I believe it's time for you to believe the preaching when it's the Word of God. By the way, if it's not the Word of God, it ain't preaching, okay? It's not preaching. It may be encouragement, but if it's not the Word of God, it's not preaching. Can I say it's time to believe? It's time for you to come to the house of God and leave that negative spirit at home. It's time for you to come to the house of God and leave that, just leave that critical attitude. You know, the one that finds fault with everything the preacher has to say. Well, what he's saying may be right, but he doesn't have to be so hard about it. He doesn't have to look like he's mad about it. Hey, you need to leave that critical attitude at home. If you can't leave it at home, well, when you park on the parking lot, leave it in the car, would you? Just leave it there and decide, I'm going to come in and I'm not going to come looking to criticize. I'm not going to come looking to somebody else and saying, well, the very idea that that person would come to church. Well, glory to God, I'm glad they came. Lord, not to come with that critical spirit. Lord, not to come with that that's seeking to find fault, all right? Buddy, if the Bible is being preached, you need to start heeding and believing it. You need to believe it, all right? You don't have to like it, but you better believe it. You better believe it. Now, you go to the doctor. I don't oftentimes like what the doctor says. I don't like what he tells me. You need to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't tell him that, but I think that. I don't want to do that. Hey, you don't have to like what the doctor tells you, but if you got half a brain, you're paying him enough money, you'll do what he says. I had one doctor one time tell me, if you're not going to do what I tell you, you might as well quit coming. Are you talking to me that way? I didn't say that. He said, what'd you do? I quit going, man. Hey, listen, we need to believe. It's time to believe. We don't have to like what we hear. You don't have to like what you hear. I don't know. I'll be just honest with you here in the pulpit. I've been in preaching before. I didn't like what I heard. The reason I didn't is tell the truth about what I was doing wrong. I didn't like it. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't sit there and say, amen, you tell me. Some people, they come and say, what? Who told you? You know? Hey, the Word of God, what are we supposed to believe it? Believe it. It's time to believe it. It's time to believe what God says. You know why? Because it'll do something if you'll believe it. 1 Thessalonians. And I'll give you time. You're going to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We We overlook the fact how important this matter of believing is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I think what a tremendous verse of scripture this is. But in verse 13, the Bible says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God." But now notice the last part of this verse. "Which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Believe. Hey, this book will work in you if you'll believe it. If you'll believe it. Some people say, "Well, it doesn't do anything for me." Well, maybe it's your fault. You don't believe it. You don't believe it. Some of you are not getting the help you need because of your unbelief. You just won't believe. The Bible tells us about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It said he couldn't do many wonderful works there because of their unbelief. Their unbelief. Hey, it doesn't change the truth of the Word of God if you don't believe it. He said, "Well, I don't believe it." Well, it doesn't change the truth. Doesn't change the truth. It doesn't change the truth at all. And your unbelief doesn't change that a bit. There's been a lot of people believed a lot of things that were wrong. We lived in Florida for 5 years, and for about a year and a half of that 5 years, we lived in paradise for two boys. We lived out in the country. We lived right on the edge, the bank of the Caloosahatchee River. And I mean, it was a place you could fish, you could swim in that river, and all of that stuff was there. But we had a dock that went out into the river, and we'd get out there and jump off of that dock, dive off of that dock in the water. But we never did it without first going out and making sure nothing had been floated in that we couldn't see. Now, some of y'all wouldn't have liked swimming there because you could not see the bottom. It's not like swimming in a pool. Where's the fun in that? You don't, man, there's no telling what might be there. But we had always checked that out because we had heard of folks that had dove in, hit something, broke their neck, and never walked again. We were careful. Hey, but you could have said, "Well, you know, I believed it was clear." Well, it doesn't matter. Hey, listen, you can believe this book. If you'll believe it, it'll work in you. Now, you can ignore it and it'll do nothing for you. It'll do nothing for you. But it's time to believe. It's time to believe. Notice the Bible said there in Mark 1, he said, "Believe the gospel." The gospel. The Bible said the Lord Jesus Christ came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. We don't preach the gospel of the kingdom of God today. We preach the gospel of the grace of God. The wonderful grace of Jesus that reaches the most defiled, reaches the uttermost. And the grace of God's provided salvation. You can believe that gospel. You'd have been here this morning, you'd have got the definition of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in Sunday school, we looked at it. The gospel is plainly said to be the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We preach that gospel. We preach that Jesus Christ died. He died like no other man has ever died before because he died with the weight of sin of all mankind upon him. And his death was a sacrificial, substitutionary death. That was the death that he died. He was buried. He was buried like multitudes have been buried both since and before that time. Multitudes been buried, all right? It was the death and the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it doesn't end there. It includes the resurrection. Nobody ever was resurrected the way Jesus Christ was. He said, "Wait a minute, preacher. There were people in the Old Testament that got raised from the dead." There were. "Hey, wait a minute, preacher. What about Lazarus? He was raised from the dead." But none of them were raised the way Jesus was. You see, no man was involved in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was all God and all God's doing. The Lord Jesus Christ, under the power of God, after 3 days in that grave, rose again. Rose again. All on his own. Just the power of God. Man had nothing to do with it. Lazarus raised from the dead when the Lord spoke and said, Lazarus, come forth. You'd have been in that garden where that tomb was in Jesus' day, and you'd have been there when he came forth. You'd have heard no voice say, come forth. You might have heard the stone roll away. That would have probably got you excited. But when he came out of that grave, it would have probably been the end of you, all right? But he rose from the dead. Hey, you need to believe that gospel. The grace of God. If you'll believe it, you can be born again. If you'll believe it, you can be born again. You can get your ticket stamped for heaven. Yeah, you can believe it. Hey, if you believe, you shall receive. Songwriter said, if you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't believe. Oh, he is just the same today. All you got to do is trust and pray and believe. You must believe. That's what you got to do. You got to believe. You got to believe. Hey, listen, you've heard the preaching. This is not the first time you've ever heard preaching. You've been convicted of your sin. Did you repent? Did you repent? Or you're still carrying it around? You're still thinking, I can get away with it? Or did you repent? Did you believe the Word of God? Did you believe it? Did you repent? Did you get right? Hey, look, the invitation has been extended. The only question is, will you come? Will you come? That was what it was, man. Jesus got up and he came preaching. He came preaching. He told people to repent. He said, now it's time for you to get right. You need to repent. You need to believe. Hey, my friend, it's that same time. It's time today to do those same things. It's time for preaching. It's time for preaching. I got a lot more I could say and would like to say, but that's all I'm going to say. But, hey, it's up to you to repent. He said, preacher, you didn't preach on anything I'm guilty of today. Yeah, but you've already got that conviction growing in there. Holy Spirit got his finger in your life saying, you know what the problem is, and I want you to get right. Won't you believe what you've heard? Won't you believe that book? Why don't you make that change you need to? Would you do it today? Would you stand, please, our Heavenly Father? We come to you, Lord, and we ask you to deal with our hearts. Lord, it's not time to keep on doing what we've been doing that's wrong. Lord, it's time to believe what you've said about our sin. It's time to repent. Or maybe somebody's here this morning. It's time for them to believe the gospel and to receive you as their Savior. Lord, it's invitation time now. Would you help us today to do what we should? In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. We sing this morning, page 401, Only Trust Him. Would you do that today? Would you just trust Him? Would you just come? God's dealing with you. Would you come while we sing? Come on. Come on. Trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you.